Good morning. I'm glad to be here today. So I wanted just to give a little introduction to myself and my family. I was born in Hong Kong and was actually also raised in Hong Kong. At present, I have my family is that my wife Christy and I have two children. One already graduated from college, and he is in the workforce right now for 2 years. And my other one is a graduating high school senior. How many of you are graduating high school seniors? Oh, congratulations. It's hard work. So my day job is I'm a scientist at the Lawrence Livermore National Lab. I do math and statistics every single day. How many of you like math and statistics? Great. You probably like to work at my place. And also currently I'm studying at a Western Seminary. I've completed most of the courses already for a Master of Art degree, so I'm expecting to be graduating soon. And in my email exchange with Pastor Sam, and he told me that the theme of your church for this year is Home Sweet Home. When I heard of the theme, I don't know what to make of it. But one family that came to mind immediately is the family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. You know about that family too, right? So I don't know why it came to my mind, but because from human point of view, this family is by no means perfect model of a model of a perfect family, because as you read from the scripture, the family, they don't seem to be living with their parents. So Martha seems to be the head of the household. So at that time, and probably they also you did not see the mention of their husbands, so they are probably not married. So they must be pretty young also. So a young family without parents is pretty hard. So it's by no means a perfect family. And also the family experienced some grief later on. I mean, because one of the loved one, Lazarus, got ill and passed away for a few days until Jesus came along. So the family went through trauma, serious trauma within their life. And today we're going to study also an incident in the family. There seems to be some discord in the family, because there's some little problem that when they invite Jesus to their home. So it's at best it's a typical family, but there's something very untypical about it, because the Bible says Jesus loved them. What a blessed family. So from a spiritual family, spiritual standpoint, this is a very blessed family. And not only that, they are not only being blessed by God, but they become blessings to many, many people in all generations. And as we studied this, what happened, you know, in this passage, we just got, you know, we are just so amazed at how Jesus is helping them, this family, how they fellowship with Jesus, is how wonderful that is here. So I would like to invite all of us to think about this and learn from this family also to see how it can be applied to their life, to our life. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you that we are together to worship you, Lord. And help us to really focus on you, so that we'll be teachable people, so that we can really understand, appreciate the kind of grace that you've given to us, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit be with us and help us. And you also anoint me with your word so that I can speak in truth and in spirit, Lord. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to test your knowledge about an acronym. What do you know? What is the acronym WMD stand for? WMD actually stands for many things. I don't see anybody come up with ideas. So for people who just like you, I think one of the popular terms is wireless mobile device, right? So a lot of you have wireless mobile device in your hand. So it's WMD. And from my point of view, I work at a lab which do produce nuclear weapons, and that's weapons of mass destruction, okay? But then there is in the psychology world, it means something else. It means weapon of mass distraction. So as you know, one of those weapons of mass destruction is the World Wide Web, right? So the reason it's so distracting is that it's because of the ingenuity of the people who designed the World Wide Web. World Wide Web means that you can actually, all the information are connected. So it's something called a hyperlink, right? Hyperlink that you can click on one place, and then you read all those things, and then you suggest you a whole lot of things that you can also click on. So you continue to click, and to find out all the information that you are interested in. And that's why it is so distracting, because you can spend hours on it without knowing it. Because you just click, and then you just click. It's just so addicting. And one of the biggest problem in our generation is this, you know. So 2 years ago, there was an article published in NBC News titled, "Student Can Resist Distraction for 2 Minutes, and Neither Can You." So adults, neither can you. It's found that our average amount of time for workers to be distracted is about 11 minutes. So if you go to work and then you have access to a computer, you work for 10 minutes, 11 minutes, you probably might think about, I want to do something on the internet, find something, information. And I'm sure among people in worship, in churches, a lot of people can stay on worship without being distracted by whatever gadget they have in their own hands. And just a week ago, the street that is outside our area, there was an accident that a car hit our utility box, so that we were without electricity for a whole day. I'm not sure what happened, but I'm sure it has something to do with distraction. So also spiritual distraction have become a major problem for Christians too. I read an article that lists about 10 things that often distract us from God. And I want to just talk about 4 things here. The first thing is relationship. So you talk about, you know, relationship with your spouses, your friend, your family, families. And so it can be distracting because there are a lot of problems that could, you know, arise in those interaction between people. Recently, especially, I found, you know, because I have a graduating, you know, high school senior daughter, I've been distracted by all her application, college applications, all the, you know, preparations and everything. And the second distraction is our work or studies. So like not just our secular work, but maybe also that your church serving at the church, that sometimes we are so bogged down with, you know, preparing for music or this and that we forget about, you know, the purpose, you know, the spiritual, you know, meaning of what we are doing, you know. So, and then the third thing is obviously, as I mentioned, is technology. It's increasingly become a major distraction. And you see everywhere people having their iPhone on their hands and people playing video games and all those things. And the last one that I want to list here is ourselves. Yes, it is us. And because we are by nature sinful, that if we live our life unchecked, I think we'll most likely prefer not to spend time with God, but do something that pleases our selfish desire. So let's turn to the passage today as we think about the issue of distraction. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. So let me just read it. So now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So we want to ask the question, first of all, Jesus entered this village. Where is this village? And we read the other gospel book and the Bible in the New Testament. We found that this village is called Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So it's about half hour walking from Bethany or from Jerusalem to Bethany. And the Luke recorded that Martha welcomed Jesus to her house. I mean, again, this is, she is the head of the household. And so the first thing unique about this family is that they had a close relationship with Jesus. When Jesus entered this village, they were invited to this family. He did not go anywhere, but invited to because they're best friends. They're very close friends. So they are very excited about having Jesus as friends and company. So again, in John chapter 11, he says, Jesus loved this family very much. So the key element in building a healthy spiritual home is that everyone has a strong desire to build relationship with Jesus. We often focus in our church on horizontal relationship, our relationship with our brothers and sisters, but our relationship with our brother and sister cannot be really healthy unless we are all connected vertically to Christ. So when I first learned about your church, I was very attracted by the name of your church. It's called like Christ-Centered Church. Not that many churches, you know, name Christ-Centered. Some churches name Hope Church, Peace, you know, or Holy Spirit Church. But it is very good that, I mean, that the church's name is Christ-Centered, because all the peace, hope, and everything, and love, you know, actually are nothing if not because of Christ. So Christ is actually the center of everything. So the church name, Christ-Centered Church, is a very biblical name. So you may want to ask, what does the Christ-centered ministry look like? What does the Christ-centered church look like? A Christ-centered ministry focuses on spiritual growth through a strong and healthy relationship with Christ, with himself, with Jesus himself. So Jesus is not just the way to salvation. It's not just like we obtain salvation and that's it. I mean, we just, you know, loosely connected to Christ. But he should be with us, should be our focus, every step of our spiritual journey. And the Bible said Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, right? So he's the beginning and the end. And he's the author and perfecter of faith. So it's not just bring us into faith, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. And we depend on him. It's not just to be saved by him, but also he works within us. And so that we can be like him, you know, and also be his disciples. And so our purpose of serving is to please him and to serve him. And many churches depart from this key principle, and sometimes they focus on what? If they don't focus on Jesus, they'll focus on family, right? So there's some churches, it's family-based church. All they, you know, most of the time, they're just, you know, concerned about family problems and try to deal with that. Or they could be focused on building, you know, relationship, horizontal relationship, somehow become a social club. And then they maybe also, you know, that they focus on social justice. I saw churches, you know, focus on social justice, meaning they help, the focus, their work, their focus is on battling social problems. Or some churches, they focus on worship, you know, worshiping God. And so it's appeal to emotion. So everybody become very emotional about worship, you know. All these are important, but they are not really important. I mean, they are only around this most important thing centered on Christ only become more important if we focus on Christ alone. And so many of us attend church regularly, but sometimes we place too much focus on activities and for its own sake, not for building up in Christ. And also when we are not at church, then obviously a lot of time we don't live a life, a Christ-centered lifestyle. So the main point is that to build a sweet spiritual home, we must strive to help one another with a healthy relationship with Christ. And now going back to the text, okay? So you can imagine that Martha and Mary, they were busy preparing for food in the kitchen, and then Jesus came into the village, and Jesus came into the house. So they left everything in the kitchen, they came out to greet Jesus, right? So, and then talk about, you know, talk with Jesus for a little while, chatted, you know, and then make Jesus feel comfortable. And then Martha thought, oh, there's something else I could have to do in the kitchen. So Martha went into the back of the kitchen. But one thing is that you notice, one thing about at this point is that Jesus has a different priority. Jesus began to teach. How many of you go to other people's house and say begin to teach, right? You don't usually talk to them, you know. You just say, you know, chat about regular stuff, you know, your typical daily stuff. But Jesus' mind is that he wanted to impart the most important message. So when he went into the house, he almost immediately, he just wanted to share with them the kingdom of God. But Martha did not really notice that or did not really feel that importance. So her mind is like, she wanted to go back to the kitchen and prepare the food. Actually, she has a very good, you know, heart because she wanted to prepare the best food for Jesus. But then Mary, she was different, you know. She did not go back to the kitchen. Instead, she was sitting and then listened to Jesus. Luke painted a very pretty picture of what happened. Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him with humility and with a pure heart. So imagining that picture made me think about that some of the churches I went to in the past, you know, before the main sermon, usually the pastor asked all the kids to come in front, and then he would just share with them a very short message, and then after that, they would send them out to Sunday school or whatever, you know, and then they'd have the sermon. So I imagine, I mean, all those kids, when they come in, they just kneel down, you know, and just sit there and listen very attentively. So I can imagine what's happening right there. So this brings my second point about building sweet relationship, a spiritual house, is that we need to give priority to the study of God's Word. A healthy relationship with Christ cannot be apart from knowing His Word. And also a healthy relationship within a church, a spiritual family, cannot be apart from His Word, knowing His Word. Because why? Because we come from a very diverse background and we have different view on different things. And one important thing is that to maintain harmony, we have to have a common foundation so that the common foundation is the Word of God. Not just that we have to know the Word, but also we have to really know how to interpret the Word correctly, because different people say they believe in the Word of God, but then they interpret the Word differently. So why is so important about God's Word? Because God's Word tells us about His attributes. Is that He is a sovereign God, He's a just God, and He's a holy God, He's all-knowing, and He's all-present and all-powerful. He declared Himself to be this God, all-powerful God. And not only that, we learn about His character, that He is we learn from Exodus 34:6 is that he declared himself to be a compassionate God, a gracious God, slow to anger, abundant in love and faithfulness. It also teaches us how to maintain our spiritual health. In the book of 2 Timothy, it said God's word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And it also helps us to be wise in our daily decision. A lot of time we have to make daily decision in our every single day. And sometimes we don't know what to do, right? Sometimes we make stupid decisions. But if you have the Word of God in you, at a certain moment, when the time comes, when you have to make certain decision, His Word will pop up in your mind, and you will know what to do about it. And also help us to overcome our pride. And you know that one thing that the Bible talks a lot about, you know, against about is pride. And you see pride everywhere because people, we are just inborn with it. We are just, whatever we have, we are proud of, you know. And actually, that destroys relationship. And so one thing we learn is to be, you know, humble. And especially important in a church family. And the Word of God teaches how to love also. Because the world teaches the different way of loving, okay? But the Bible tells us what the right way to love. And also, it teaches about God's eternal plan, okay? It tells you that from beginning to the end was God's plan. So that when we can have hope in our tribulations, you know, that I've been reading a book lately that talk about, you know, that we have all difficulties and tribulation in life, right? Sometimes we do that, we have that, and we pray. Sometimes God does not answer us. A lot of people, one time a pastor asked the congregation, how many of you pray and God did not answer? And a lot of people raised their hand, you know. But then the question is that we are not going to blame God. Why not? But if we see, we read the Bible, we understand God's eternal plan, then we know that whatever happened, you know, why, then we will help us to really persevere, even though in view of that, because we know that God has a plan that's different from what I desire. And so C.S. Lewis once said, God does not want us to make our life nice for us, because He wants us to be new. So we all want to be having a good life, right? But God wants us to have a new life, which may not be pleasant sometimes. So through God's word, we have different level of, you know, relation. We can build a different level of relationship. So when you build relationship with people, the first level relationship is what? We just say, hi, how are you? You know, just, you know, in the distance, you know, as I say. But the second level relationship is they got to know about that person, okay? So the fact about person, or how many members in your family, what is your job, where are you studying, you know? Those are kind of, you know, second level relationship. The third level relationship is that you learn about the opinion of the person. Is that how I feel about certain things, what I think about certain things. And then the next level is that you understand what the person's feelings about, you know, deep feelings and also their desires, so that you can really empathize with them. And so those are kind of level of relationship you can build. And that's what, I mean, a lot of us, you know, when our relationship with Christ is all stay in the level of knowledge, head knowledge, okay? We just know something about Christ, you know? And then, but the most important thing is to get deeper and deeper into that. I'm just digressing a little bit. So let's come back to the passage again. So Martha wanted to listen to Jesus too. So even though Martha went to the kitchen, she heard about Jesus' teaching. Her mind just said, I wanted to listen to that too. But her mind cannot let go of the need to really prepare the food. And sometimes we are really quick to judge Martha, and she's not worldly or whatever. She also loved Jesus, right? She wanted to prepare the good thing for Jesus. But then she wanted to serve Jesus, express her love in a very different way, and by serving Him a good meal. She wanted to give, okay? But Jesus wanted her to receive first. So Jesus wanted to tell her about the kingdom of God, everything that God has done for her before she served Him. So we can imagine that when she was, you know, doing the kitchen work, she was running in and out of the kitchen, and every time she was in the family room, she wanted to sit down and listen, but her mind could not let go. Oh, my stove, I have this, you know, fire burning, you know, and I have this dish I have to prepare, you know, all the stuff, and all the setup, and distracted her. And during this time, her mind went through many, many emotions. The first emotion that she had is like, she was distracted, right? As Luke was saying, distracted by many, many things. So her mind is confused a little bit. And then her heart was troubled, okay? So when you get confused, her heart became troubled. What troubled her? So a lot of time, a lot of things need to be done, and we wanted to listen to Jesus. And worst of all, her sister was not helping. And so you know that when you have brothers and sisters and you do all the housework and while your brother and sister, they're just sitting there watching TV, you know, sometimes you feel, right? How do you feel, right? And so her sister wasn't helping. Maybe she signaled her, says, come help, you know. But Mary just listened, pay very close attention to that. And then after that, she felt sorry for herself, right? She said, oh, I'm the only one who's doing this. And then she had self-pity. She said, I'm so miserable. And then she became upset. Okay. And then at a certain point, she could not stand no more. And then she complained to Jesus. And then she would say, do you care for me anymore? Do you care for me? Do you care that my sister left me to do all the service alone? It's not fair. So she's kind of complaining to Jesus. I don't know why she just don't say, Mary, come, you know, right? But she was, maybe she's respect Jesus, a lot of respect for Jesus, that she wanted to know, just to appeal to Jesus, to tell Mary to do it, to come to the kitchen. And then she said, please tell Mary to help, okay, to help me. So the original word for help is that to take up her share of work. That she's supposed to share the work with me in the kitchen, and she's not doing it. So it's supposed to be a joint project that we're going to invite Jesus and come to a house and eat out a good meal. And when you think about this, do you sympathize with Mary, with Martha? She's just trying to do her best for Jesus, right? But instead, she got frustrated. And what else could she have done? From our point of view, what her reaction is perfectly normal, right? But then, what's her major problem? The problem is that she loved Jesus, but she did not feel his heart. She really loved Jesus. She loved him in a way, but she didn't feel his heart. You know, because Jesus is God who came, as I said, to impart grace. He wanted to bring riches, the spiritual riches, to the family, to them. He wanted to bring the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is to repent and to believe in Christ. Jesus came to, Mark 16 said, Jesus came, the Gospel of Mark said that, Jesus came to serve and not to be served, and gave his life as a ransom for many. So this is what Jesus came to do. And he wanted to tell her that about his plan. And if we miss the point, then we'll find our priority not being, you know, set correctly, and that become trouble. It become confused, and it become maybe sometimes frustrated. But then Jesus told Martha something. It's totally unexpected. You would think, okay, and Jesus would say, okay, I'll tell her to come to the kitchen to help you, right? But then Jesus did not do that. She did not do it as she requested. But then she did not scold her leader, you know, she just say, you know, you are wrong, right, whatever. Instead, she spoke gently and lovingly to her, Martha, Martha. So we say twice, means it's very softly and it is a very comforting voice. So it pointed to her a source of distraction. You are anxious about many things, but then he offers a solution for them. There's need of but one thing, and Mary has chosen this good thing. And chosen this good thing, there's a blessing associated with it, that which will not be taken away from her. So what is that one thing here? the one thing the original text is a need of a few things, okay? So it's not just particularly one thing. But then some commentators, it's just, you know, allegory or whatever, say, oh, maybe Jesus said, you just prepare one dish. You don't have to prepare so many dishes. And I don't think that's the case. Another say was that, okay, there's one thing, it's about hope, about peace, about love. But I think it's very direct. Jesus said the only one thing is that we can be more fully and acquire the riches of Him. We build a close relationship with Jesus. One thing is important is to have a good close relationship with Jesus so that we can more fully acquire the riches that He's going to give to us. And one of the most precious things is God's righteousness, okay? Because we sin against God, we lost the righteousness. But Jesus came to give us the righteousness because of His own dying on the cross. And so this cannot be taken away from us. Once Jesus imparted this righteousness on us, this cannot be taken away from us. And so sometimes you say, like, you know, I'm a Christian already. This is in the past. You know, I am going forward to serve God more. I'm going to learn more. But then this is not, I mean, the righteousness is, I already have it, you know. But notice one thing that Apostle Paul said one time in Philippians 3. I read at this verse. I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing excellence of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness from the law, but from which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. This saying that is that when we came to know Christ, there's much more we need to know. So we know about Paul at the end of his life, almost at the end of his ministry, after serving God for so many years, he still say, though I don't feel that I have obtained everything. He said, I still have wanted to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. I wanted to have fellowship with His suffering. So Martha's problem was not her faithfulness again. She has been distracted by too many things, and she lost sight of the most important thing, is to really understand, you know, this God's grace for each one of us. And so one of the principles that we operate in church is that in our church family, don't let things we do for Jesus become more important than relating to Him. And so most important thing is to be in Christ. Serving God should not replace time with Jesus. So we spend a lot of time serving God at church, but our time with Jesus is even more important. Only when the goal of serving is to be Christ-like, right? So we can serve God and say, I help God this and that, you know. But the most important thing about, you know, serving God is that so that we can be like Christ. So only when we get to Jesus that we begin to understand how best to serve Him. So there's a John, the Apostle John writes a very beautiful story about Mary. In John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8, we see that Mary expressed her understanding about Christ. Okay, so Mary was the one sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. She learned a lot during that process. She learned so that at a certain point, she did something, you know, very amazing. What did she do? She expressed her understanding about Christ. She anointed Jesus' feet with a pound of expensive perfume. And somehow her action revealed deep mystery that showed her understanding about the deep mystery of God's plan of salvation, that Jesus had to suffer death. And Matthew quoted Jesus saying even more about, you know, the importance of what she did. Is that wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman has done be told for a memorial of her. That what she did was so amazing that it need to be told time after time. Because why is that so important? Because her action show her deep understanding, a deep feeling about what Jesus is about to do. He's going to die on the cross for each one of us. She might not know exactly that Jesus is going to die, but somehow her action, you know, really reveal that mystery of Jesus dying on the cross. And that is because she is so close to Jesus that she begins to do things that Jesus pleased, and Jesus used him to reveal his own mystery about him. After this passage, we don't know what happened to Martha, but I'm sure she came around because she is a woman of faith. This is a short incident in Jesus' ministry, but it's a very important by itself because what it tells us a lot about how we should do God's family to build his own family. What are our priorities? I want us to pause for a moment. So a key to building a healthy spiritual family is that it has to start with each one of us, each individual members of the family. So it has to start, instead of like, we all do this, I think we need to really do a reflection of ourselves to think about, it has to start with me. And then after that, then we learn to practice that, and then to practice Christ's humility to really build up the family. So Philippians 2:5 is that in your relation with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So when we build a strong desire, have a strong desire to relate to Christ, we become to really know him, then we have the mindset of him, then the relationship, then we know we can apply that mindset as Jesus Christ. And it's also in Ephesians 3, it talks about that only through that all together, all the saints together, can we together can comprehend the height, the depth, and the length, and the breadth of the love of God. I remember that when I was a teenager like yourself, I mean, yourself here, that I attended a church in San Francisco. And one of the members of our fellowship, we were in a young fellowship, youth fellowship, and then one of the members of the family, he woke up every morning at 5 o'clock to read the Bible. And not only that, he called everybody up and said, wake up and read the Bible. And so he took the initiative. And then his enthusiasm, his zeal for the Bible actually was contagious, would help people, you know, help me, you know, because I was the one who wasn't able to get up that early morning. But that picture, that enthusiasm actually been affecting me, influencing me for a long, long time. And I'm sure that some of you here, I mean, that you really have a strong desire, you know, to really know God, but you have to also, take the initiative. I mean, and then maybe you can actually influence the brothers and sisters around you to be more, to want to have a strong desire to come to know Jesus, to have a build relationship with Jesus. And I want to ask you, like, you know, what are some of the distractions that might hinder your spiritual growth? Distraction from your family or your friends, your other relationships, or distraction at work or at school, or sometimes your distraction because of your addictions or your sins. And so what are your distractions in your life? I'm sure everybody has some kind of distractions. I mean, it's just some people have more distraction than the others. And maybe also that there may be some distraction that affect the health of our church. And then I'm asking the question is that what are a few things that you think are necessary in your life, in your personal life, and your church? Is building a relationship with Christ one of them? And if not, well, how are you going to respond to what Jesus said here? Jesus said Mary chose the good portion. It is a choice that we have to make. I mean, so it's not like, you know, that it come your way. It's a choice because every single day we have spiritual battles. And It comes with a sweet promise that it will never be taken away from us. If you do not have a habit of relating to Christ, I will invite you to begin the habit of spending some time with the Word of God. And because I think that is the beginning of revival in our individual life, in our church family.